Hey, let me say this now. Hey, no, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to wait till we get over with the service. I'm going to deal with him. Amen. Amen. First of all, it's good to see everybody today. I'm glad you were able to come out today. I know we got a lot of sickness and stuff going on. If you did not get a bulletin and did not get an insert, if you want the sermon notes, if you did not get one and you want one, just let us know and we'll get you one. Is there anybody that needs a copy of that before we get started? And by the way, we're archiving these. Louise is putting them in folders, so if you ever miss a Sunday and you want to get them, then just ask her about that. And I'm going to try to remember to put the keys to them in there with that. So, that would be a good idea. And also, as always, we upload all of our sermons on the website. So if you miss one Sunday, you can go and listen to it. And if you have the notes, you can fill in the notes as you go along. So it's just good to be in God's house today. How many of you are glad you're here today? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Guys, I'm stuck in the book of 1 Peter at least one more week. Amen, because there's a lot of good stuff in 1 Peter. 1 Peter tells us a lot of stuff about how we should live, about being men and women of integrity, about committing to doing things. And guys, we're going to focus on commitment a little bit here today. And the title of the sermon is Living for God in 2017. Well, guys, we shouldn't just be living for Him this year. We should be living for Him always. Amen. There shouldn't be a specific time frame that we set to serve God. We ought to be serving Him always. And I want you to be aware of that. But we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 4 today. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to 1 Peter chapter 4.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. How many of you are glad for God's Word? Amen.
Amen.
And guys, let me tell you something. I want to encourage you in this new year. I've said this before. I want to encourage you to be more aware of God's Word and the power of God's Word and what God's Word can do for your life and can help guide your life in the right way. So I want to encourage you to get your Bible out and read it this year. If you weren't doing such a good job last year, hey, that year's over with. We can't go back and correct that. But moving ahead, we're going to press toward that prize that Jesus has got laid up for us. Amen. That's what we're going to keep doing. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to ask those of you that can, if you will, stand to your feet. In honor of reading God's Word, we're going to read 1 Peter 4, verses 1 through 6. It says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit." Father God, I just pray now, Lord, in these next few minutes, Lord, that you'll anoint this place with your Holy Spirit. Lord, help our eyes and ears to perk up and be focused on the message you have for today, Lord. Nothing about what I'm fixing to say, Lord, but all about glorifying you. We just give you the praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Guys, let's talk about commitment for a minute. I preached about commitment a lot over the last several years, but I really feel like God is moving us into this new year so that we can commit ourselves. I don't like using the word resolutions because resolutions seem to be things that we talk about a little bit and we try to stick to them. But guys, if we're committed to something, we're going to stick to it, right? If we're committed to something, that means we're going to stay the course. We're going to see this thing through to the end. So I want to challenge you to get committed this year, okay? Now, don't tell me that you can't be committed to serving Jesus. How many of you in here, and you don't have to raise your hand, I just want you to think about this. How many of you in here are born-again believers that really know that in order to really, truly be a born-again believer of Christ, you've got to make a commitment to serving Him? You've got to commit. You cannot just simply say, oh, I love you, Jesus. I've accepted you. I walked down here. I got baptized. There's been thousands of people who have done that, but there's no commitment. There's no commitment. I preached a sermon several weeks back called Keeping Your Hand to the Plow, and we were talking about, are you a fan or are you a follower of Jesus? Guys, we don't need any more fans. We got enough fans of Jesus. We need some followers, amen? Amen. We need some people that are going to follow Jesus through whatever that road may take you. And it's not going to always be easy. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. But that's what commitment is. It means you're going to dedicate yourself to doing that. We as believers should have an attitude of commitment. We as believers should have an attitude of commitment. Guys, you got to commit yourself. Now, don't tell me you don't know what commitment means, because there are a lot of people in this room right now that are committed to a lot of different things. And there's nothing wrong with that. As long as you are giving God his rightful place in your life, then you commit to whatever else you want to commit to. As long as it's not doing anything wrong, immoral, or illegal, then that's okay. But see, here's the problem. A lot of us are committed to things that are putting those things ahead of serving God. And guys, that's when it becomes wrong in our lives. You know, the commitment God calls us to is nothing greater than what Jesus endured, suffering for our salvation. Suffering for our salvation. Jesus suffered for us. You know, a lot of people don't understand this. They think that when I get born again and I accept Jesus as my Savior, then I'm supposed to have an easy time of life. God's given me this, and he's going to let me just move on through life down easy street. You got another thing coming, buddy. Let me tell you something. That street is anything but easy. But I'm going to tell you what. That street is headed straight to the streets of gold if you'll stay on it. Amen. If you'll stay focused on what's going on and what God wants you to do in your life, you're going to end up in heaven one day, and you're going to look back and you're going to say, you know what? That world wasn't too hard, was it? Man, compared to what I've got now, that world was nothing. So you see, Jesus endured suffering for our salvation. Verse 1 tells us this. I'm going to go back to verse 1 in our text. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. You know, Jesus communicated this idea of commitment to us when he told us in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, that we need to take up our cross and follow him. Take up our cross and follow him. Jesus told us about what being dedicated and committed means when he tells us that in Matthew 16, 24. Take up our cross and follow him. You know, Jesus told his disciples, he said, if you want to follow me, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. It didn't say just follow me. It said follow me daily. Guys, when you take up your cross, you're making a commitment. When you take up your cross, you're saying, Lord, I'm giving up the things that are keeping me from serving you. I'm going to commit to you now. I believe that a lot of people are not willing to just completely just take that cross and put it on their back and move forward. They'll say they're committed, but Jesus made it very clear. If you're going to follow me, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Guys, when we take up that cross, it means we're committed and we are not looking back. We're committed. When you have taken up your cross, that means you are committed to serving Jesus. How many of you committed to serving Jesus? Say amen. 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 Guys, I'm going to tell you something. We need commitment. We need commitment. We don't need people to just say on paper, I'm committed, I'll help. But then when it comes down to push come to shove, they're not willing to take up their cross. They're not willing to take up their cross and do what needs to be done for the kingdom. Do y'all realize we're getting closer and closer to the end of this world as we know it? You don't believe that? Look at what's going on here. Now, I know people have been saying ever since Jesus died on the cross that we're in the end days. Yes, we are. But I really believe the end of those days are getting closer than they ever have been before. If you'll look at everything that's going on around us, we did a year and a half study in the book of Revelation. There's so many things that are lining up around us here that could indicate that at some point in time here, within our lifetime, that the tribulation is going to begin and that Jesus is going to come back for his own. that he will reign for 1,000 years on this earth in the millennial kingdom, at which time afterwards this earth as we know it will be completely destroyed. And those of us who know Jesus as our Savior will walk in to that new earth and on to that new earth, and we'll live there forever with Jesus. Won't that be a great day?
Amen.
Amen. That's going to be a great day, isn't it? That's going to be a great day. So you see, when we take up our cross, it means we're committed and we're not going to look back. But guys, I'm going to tell you what. A lot of us are defeated in our battle against sin. We're defeated against in our battle against sin because we refuse to sacrifice anything in the battle. We're still letting little sin things control us. So you see, when you go to battle, you got to sacrifice something. You don't go into a battle unless you're sacrificing something. Something's going to be given up in order for you to find victory, right? When people go to war, someone's the victor, someone's the loser. Someone gains, someone loses. So you see, when you go to battle and you find victory in the Lord, then there's going to have to be sacrifices that are made. There's going to have to be sacrifices to be made. Guys, we only want victory if it comes easy to us. We only want victory if it comes easy to us. Oh yeah, Lord, if I can get some victory there, I'll do that. That's not too hard. Let me tell you the story here, and I've told you this before. You know the story of the rich young ruler? He wanted victory in Jesus. He wanted to know how to have eternal life. You know what Jesus told him? He said, keep my commandments. He said, oh, this is easy, man. I got this victory right here. I can do that. I do that, Lord. And then Jesus told him one more thing. He said, take everything you got, sell it, and give it to the poor, and you'll have eternal life. To which he hung his head and walked away. And that prompted Jesus to say, that is why it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because he didn't want to give up anything in the battle. When victory was sitting on his doorstep, he couldn't give up anything. He couldn't sacrifice anything to take that victory. Guys, you got to sacrifice something. If you're going to serve God in 2017, you got to make some sacrifices. You cannot just keep taking and taking and taking from God without sacrificing and giving something up. You got to give something up. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus wants us to sacrifice in that battle against sin. He wants us to sacrifice. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? Sacrificing in this battle against sin. I'm saying, and I'm going to put this in plain English where everybody can understand it. Give up those sinful things that are keeping you from being all you can be for Jesus. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Give them up. Don't keep pulling them along with you. Don't keep dragging them along with you. Guys, if we've suffered persecution for the sake of Jesus, it almost always changes our outlook regarding sin. It really does. If we've suffered persecution for the sake of Jesus, it almost always makes us change our outlook on sin. And it also makes us change that pursuit of the lusts of the flesh also. Those lusts of the flesh, those are the things that drive so many people to just keep doing things that they know they ought not be doing, but yet they just keep doing it. They want some Jesus over here. They want some world over here. They're caught up in the middle. Jesus said, I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm. Because lukewarm believers are going to be spewed forth out of my mouth. I'm going to vomit them up. In other words, what Jesus was saying here, they make me sick. Lukewarm people make Jesus sick. You understand what I'm saying? If you understand what I'm saying, say amen. Amen. Lukewarm people make Jesus sick. Jesus wants committed people. We got enough lukewarm people. We got enough fans. We need some followers up in here. We need some followers up here in God's house and in God's ministry and what we're trying to do around and in and through our church. And guess what? I believe we're headed in the right direction. Amen? Amen. I really believe we are. I really believe we are. When we have suffered for Jesus' sake, we're more likely to live the rest of our lives within the will of God and not to the flesh. When we have suffered for Jesus' sake, we're more likely to live in His will and not to the flesh. Because guys, I'm going to tell you something. When you suffered for something Jesus brought into your life and Jesus allowed to happen in your life and you still obey Him, then you've made it. You've made it. You fought that victory. You gave up something in that battle. And now what you've got left ahead is to just keep serving Him the rest of your life. How many of you faced some suffering in your service to the Lord? Raise your hand. Everybody in here pretty much raised their hand on that one. Guys, we're going to face suffering. We're going to face persecution. And I'm not talking about necessarily the kind of persecution that Peter and Paul and all the apostles and disciples faced, because they got stoned, they got beaten, they got thrown in prison. We don't get thrown in prison for serving God, but we certainly face persecution for serving Him. People shun us. People make fun of us. People call us bigots. People call us racists because we stand up for what the gospel of Christ says. But guys, guess what? You keep on standing, amen? You keep on standing for what's right. You keep on doing what's right. Get away from those people who are trying to lead you down the wrong path. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Bad company corrupts good character. It always has and it always will. We need to get away from that bad company in 2017. We need to get away from it. In other words, what I'm trying to say here is if we suffer for doing good and we still continue to obey God, we've made a clear break from sin. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to ever sin again, but what I'm saying is this. If we suffer for doing good and we still obey God, we've broken away from the control of sin. That's what I'm telling you. From the control of sin. We're going to still slip up in sin. We're just human fleshly people. That's going to happen. But guys, when you can suffer for serving God and still obey Him, you're headed in the right direction. Amen. You're headed in the right direction. But when you suffer for serving Jesus and this is your attitude, oh, I don't know if I can do that anymore. I didn't like it when those people got on to me and those people said things about me. Well, what do you think Jesus faced? Huh? What do you think He faced? People talked about Him. They cursed at Him. They made fun of Him. They said He was a liar. They even said He was the devil. So we haven't faced anything that Jesus hadn't faced, and most of us will never face near as much as He faced. Amen? We're not going to face all that kind of persecution. We're going to face it, though. And how we stand up to it is going to determine whether or not we're committed in this new year. Whether or not we're committed in this new year. I'm going to tell you something in this next bullet. I'm down on the fourth bullet if you're following in your notes here. I'm going to tell you something, guys. Y'all like it when I'm honest, will you? I didn't sound encouraging now. Y'all like it when I'm honest, will you? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now, I'm going to be honest with you anyway, whether you like it or not. Amen. But, guys, we spent enough of our past lifetime living like the ungodly. We've had enough of that. We've spent enough of our time living like the ungodly live. Now we're called to live like Christians. Amen. We're called to live like Christians. Christians should be Christ-like in everything they do. That means when eyes are on them, when eyes are off of them. That means when you're in the church house, when you're in the workhouse. That means when you're in the schoolhouse or you're out there walking around in public, your attitude and your life should not be any different. That's commitment, guys. That's what commitment is. That's what commitment is. We spent enough time in the past living ungodly. Now we ought to be living for Jesus, amen? That's what we got to be doing. We're called to live like Christians. But you know, the unfortunate thing about all this is many believers think they still need to dabble with the ungodly. Many people think they still need to dabble with the ungodly. Why do you, who are the light of the earth, want to hang around in darkness? Why do you want to do it? It doesn't make sense. Light and dark, they don't go together. Light always gets rid of darkness, right? Why do you want to stay in the dark? Dark is scary. Dark is uncertain. Dark can't let you find true direction. But light will show you the path. It'll let you see the path. It'll illuminate the path for you. Guys, I'm telling you right now, we got too many believers that still are dabbling with the ungodly. And I'm going to tell you something. If you, as a born-again believer, are enjoying hanging around with ungodly people and going to their house and fellowshipping with them, then you need to reevaluate where you are in your walk with Jesus. Amen. You need to reevaluate where you are in your walk with Jesus. Because the Bible said, with such, you ought not even what? Eat. You ought not even eat with them. Now, I understand this, and I know what some of you are thinking. Well, preacher, I can't, you know, if I'm made to go here and I have to go, I can't change it. I understand that, but you learn from that. You learn what the right way is. Amen? You might be in a situation where you can't help it right now, but I'm telling you what the right way is, and the right way is ungodly and godly cannot coexist together. Amen? You cannot exist that way. You cannot live that way and be pleasing to God. You got to separate yourself from that. That doesn't mean you're purposely out. Now see, you're going against the will of God if you're purposefully being ugly to those kind of people. And you're purposefully saying, oh, I don't want to hang around you. You're ungodly. Or you're unclean. You're unfit for me to hang around with you. No, that's being arrogant and prideful. But we have to separate ourselves, guys. You cannot continue to be a child of God and continue to hang in darkness. You can't do it. You just can't do it. See, these people want just a little more of the world before they make a complete commitment to godliness. Oh, I just got to do this a little bit longer. I need a little bit more of the world. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this expression. Well, I'm still sowing my wild oats. When I get done, I'm going to get right with Jesus. Let me tell you something. You could walk out this door right now and drop dead. You ever thought about that? You better be right with Jesus now. Because you're not guaranteed any more time. God refers to our life as a vapor, a mist in the book of James. It appears for a while and then it's gone. So you see, when your life is gone, the only thing that's important then is, did you have Jesus as your Savior? That's the only important thing in your life, because guess what? You ain't dragging that fancy car, will you? You ain't dragging that $1 million bank account, will you? Like I really got one, amen. You ain't going to do that. You're not going to take all those fancy clothes. You're not going to take that big nice house. The only thing you're going to take with you to heaven is what you got in your heart, and that is Jesus. And that's all you need, amen? That's all you need to be taken with you. You know, this is a tragic mistake that people make. This is a tragic mistake. It leads people away from eternal life. It leads them away from eternal life. You're hanging with the world. Well, if you're going to be in the world, you can't find eternal life because they don't know anything about it. And guys, let me say this too while I'm talking about this. Don't get so bent out of shape when you're around people who are ungodly people and they're saying things they ought not be saying. They're listening to things they ought not be listening to. They're doing things they ought not be listening to do. First of all, you ought not be that close to them that you're around that much to notice all that. But second of all, they don't know any better. We got to show them better. We got to teach them the way. I appreciate Della's prayer this morning for our young people. Guys, they are faced with a lot of temptations we did not have as kids their age. We didn't have cell phones, praise God. Amen. I'm not saying I don't like mine. I do. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I didn't have that as an influence that Satan could use in my life when I was growing up. I didn't have a computer when I was their age that I could walk up into the confines of my room and get on that and look at ungodly things that I shouldn't be looking at. I didn't have cable TV and satellite TV that can stream all this stuff right into your house. So you see, they are faced with a lot of stuff that we weren't faced with. But let me tell you something, don't fool yourself. Some of us are using those things for the same thing, amen. Some of us adults are doing the same thing that we're trying to convince our kids not to do. So it's not just a young person thing. It's an everybody thing when you don't have Jesus in the right place in your heart. When you don't have him in the right place in your heart. Now Peter gives us a nice list of things here in 1 Peter chapter 4. Let me read verse 3 to you real quick. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. In other words, when we were non-believers, we live like Gentiles. We live like the world. And here were some of the sins that we should have left behind now that we're born again believers. It talks about lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. The first thing he begins his list with, and you know what's so ironic about this? This was written over 2,000 years ago. But look at what Peter starts his list with. Lasciviousness. Say that three times real quick. Amen. Dylan, you want to say that three times real quick? Say that one real quick three times. Some people are like, what in the world is that licorice? I don't know what you're talking about, that licorice stuff. Lasciviousness. I can't even say it right sometimes. Lasciviousness. Amen. All right. Don't make me say that again. Amen. But guys, let me tell you what that means. This word means to live without any sense of moral restraint. You're just an immoral person. A lasciviousness person is a person that has no morals. They don't care what they do. They don't care where they do it. They don't care how they dress out in public. They don't care how they dance on the dance floor. They don't care anything about that because they have no moral values. That's what lasciviousness is. And guess what? Do you think Peter, 2,000 years ago when he wrote this, do you think he was thinking about what we're going through now? Probably not, but guess what? It hadn't got any better, has it? It hadn't got any better. This word especially refers to sexual immorality and violence. They're running rampant in America. This sin involves a total lack of self-control. I'm on the second page of your notes right now on the back. This sin involves a total lack of self-control. Someone who is a lasciviousness person has no self-control. And they're a very dangerous person to be around. You got to watch people like this. You got to teach your children about these types of people. Now, I'm going to tell you what, our kids are innocent and I love them for that. It's our job as adults to help them understand that everybody that comes up to you and talks to you and maybe says that they're willing to help you and do something good for you, they could be living a lasciviousness life right now and you don't even know it. You can't just go running off and talking to anybody and going with anybody and listening to them. You got to get to know them. You got to check up on them. You know why? Because this world is full of evil people who want to bring you down and do damage to you. We got to watch out for our kids. We got to help them understand that. You know, Jesus tells us we need to bring a childlike faith to come to know Him. But He doesn't mean we need to act like children and shut our eyes to the world. We need to realize what's going on in that world, don't we? As we examine the list Peter gave us of these sins that we should have gotten rid of, guess what? Here we are 2,000 years later, and we have not improved in these areas. We've not improved in these areas. In fact, we've gotten worse. Don't you think we're worse now than we were when Peter wrote this? But guess what? It was there even then. 2,000 years ago, this is Bible stuff. People say, oh, that didn't happen over in the Bible days. Oh, yeah, it did. Why do you think it's in there? Why do you think God spoke of all the sinful living that people were doing that caused Him to destroy certain cities and even destroy the whole entire earth with water? It happened. And it's still happening. As we turn from this ungodly living and turn to godly living, the world thinks it's strange that we don't want to hang with them. The world thinks it's strange that we don't want to hang around with them. Aren't you glad that you don't have to hang around with worldly people when you have Jesus as your Savior? What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's the only friend we need. Guys, you don't need all these friends that are living in the world and that are ungodly, worldly people. You know, I'm trying not to sound ugly here, and I don't want you to think that I'm against these kind of people. I'm praying for these people. I'm praying that these people come to know the Lord before it's too late. But I'm not allowing myself to be influenced by them. I'm not going to allow myself to be influenced by them. Because, see, you know, here's the thing. You ever notice this? Rodney, I think you've experienced this when you accepted Jesus. I know I have over the years, and a lot of you have. You ever notice how when you get on fire for the Lord and you get Jesus in your life, that people don't want to have a lot to do with you anymore because you convict them of what they're doing? You ever notice that? You convict them of what they're doing. They see that there's something wrong with them and something's going right with you, and it makes them feel uncomfortable. So that's what spurns them a lot of times to start saying evil against you. It convicts them. See, when we refuse to participate in the sin around us, we in essence convict those practicing those sins. And they don't like that. So guess what they oftentimes do? They speak evil against us. That's part of suffering for Jesus right there, guys. But what did we talk about last week in verse 12 of the text last week? We talk about live your life so that if people say these things about you, that people are going to see God glorified and they're not going to believe what these people are saying. They're not going to believe it. You know why? Because you're living your life for Jesus and they see the difference. You cannot be worried with what people are saying about you out there in public. If you're serving Jesus and you aren't doing any of the things they're trying to say you're doing, then don't worry about it. Keep moving in the right direction. Consider that one less friend that you've got to be concerned with taking off your list. They just call themselves. Amen. That's the way I look at it. Guys, we got to get out of this world. We got to get out of this world. We must continue to do what is right, even though we may suffer rejection from those in the world. We got to continue to do what's right, even though we suffer rejection from those in the world. Guys, we're going to face rejection from people in the world. But guys, are you in this world? Or are you just in this world and not of this world? Guys, let me tell you something. We're just passing through. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus, you're just passing through this world. You are not in this world. You're not in this world. You're just of this world, waiting until the time where you will have something better given to you. Amen. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. We got to get committed to serving God in 2017. If you agree to that, say amen. Amen. We got to get concerned about serving God and being committed to God in 2017. Guys, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged, brothers and sisters. Let me tell you something. We get discouraged sometimes when we think people don't like us. They didn't like Jesus. Do you think that stopped him? Do you think that stopped him from doing what his mission was on this earth? And that is to bring salvation to the Jew and the Gentile. No, that didn't stop him. People didn't like him. He kept right on doing his Father's work. People don't like you. You keep right on doing your Father's work. Because guess what? In doing so, you're storing up treasure in heaven. You're storing up treasure in heaven. Don't worry about these worldly things. Don't worry about what these people are trying to get. You're trying to get jewels for your crown that one day you're going to be able to cast down at the feet of Jesus as you walk into heaven. Woo! That's going to be a great day. Amen. 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 Can I get one of them Dennis Higdon witnesses in here? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Guys, we need to be getting excited about serving God in this new year. We need to be getting excited about what he's going to do for us. Don't get disturbed. Don't get discouraged. All those who wrong us without seeking forgiveness and finding Jesus. Now, I'm going to say that again because that's a lot of words there. All those who wrong us without seeking forgiveness and finding Jesus will give an account to Jesus for what they've done to us. So don't you worry about trying to right it yourself. Because there's a thing coming called the Great White Throne Judgment for unbelievers who persecuted us in this life. Let God deal with that. Let Jesus deal with that in that Great White Throne Judgment. You just keep living for him. So you see, if they don't seek forgiveness and find Jesus as their Savior, they're going to give an account to him for what they've done to us. You know, Peter also said that the good news was also preached to the dead. And what he meant by that was the righteous dead who know and live in constant awareness of the reality of eternity. Look at verse 5 and 6 in the text. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. In other words, Jesus came to preach this message to those who were already dead to sin. In other words, they've already gotten sin out of their lives. But he also preached that message to those who are still very much living in sin. So guys, hey, that's good news. See, the righteous dead know and live in constant awareness of the reality of eternity. We live in the reality of eternity. And we're rewarded by this understanding as we live according to God in the Spirit. As we live according to God in the Spirit. Guys, here's the bottom line. You want to serve God and you want to be committed to God in this new year? Then guess what? You got to be willing to get rid of anything that you're trying to drag along with you that is of a ungodly and sinful nature. You got to get rid of it. You got to break clean from it. You need to get away from people who are ungodly people because they're leading you down the wrong path. What have I always told you? Guys, you're going to go their way a lot quicker than they're going to go your way. Trust me. You know why? Because sin's powerful. It has a powerful grip over people. Once the devil gets a little foothold in you and in your mind and in your thoughts, then he can do a lot of damage to you as a believer. Guys, I don't want that for the people here at Bethesda. I want us to be committed to serving God. I want us to march into this new year living for Jesus like we've never lived for him before. But it's going to take a commitment. Guys, we can't have people here at Bethesda Baptist Church who want to just be here on the roll in name only. We need you to be committed. We need you to help. We're going to bring some changes in 2017, and they're going to be for the good. Amen. God needs workers in the field. Jesus said, the fields are ripe, but the workers are few. We don't have enough workers. We got plenty of fans. Now we need some followers. Amen. Can I get a witness? Amen. We need some followers up in here in Bethesda Baptist Church in 2017. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It never comes back void. Lord, it's there for us to live by if we'll read your word and study it. God, we got everything we need to know how to live a righteous life that's pleasing to you. And Father, that's what my will is, that, Lord, that's what I hope my will and way is for you, Lord, is to just live for you the way you want me to live. And I just pray, God, that as we've come into this new year, that we will make commitments that we'll stick to. Not commitments that we can't keep, but commitments that we can stick to in reference to our service for you. I pray, God, if there's anybody here today that needs to accept you as their Savior, that they'll come down this aisle and they'll do that. But I pray that there'll be many people who will come down this aisle today and get in this altar and say, God, I want to commit to serving you. God, I want to give up any of these worldly things that are still trying to hold on to me. God, I'm going to make a commitment this year that I'm going to separate from ungodly things and I'm going to focus on serving you. And God, I'm going to be willing to suffer for your sake. Lord, I just pray that we'll come to this altar and we'll just make that commitment today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, Becky? 417. Let's stand to your feet. The altar, as always, is open. Let's sing this hymn, and you do as the Holy Spirit of God's leading you to do today.